Good Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
How does U.S. force posturing, which is kind of what we just talked about, in the Pacific affect our nation's ability now to fight on additional fronts should they develop?
You have to understand the environment we're in and don't let numbers fool you. What this comes down to is the importance of alliances. We can fight a two-front war with a healthy NATO while maintaining a presence in the Indo-PACOM. And it comes down to prioritization and ensuring we posture ourselves in a way to not get in a fight at all. And that is reaching out, being there. Humanitarian assistance and disaster relief is one of the most important things we can do, right? That is part of competition. So we constantly go to where either friends and foe need help, right?
So this conversation that was had at the Chamber of Commerce military luncheon involving three local military professionals, including Sean Moscato, Colonel Moscato, Seamus, this is call sign, how I tend to refer to him. He's the commanding officer of the 479th Training Group, Flying Training Group at NAS Pensacola, trains all the backseaters for the Air Force. What we also do for the Navy and the Marines, but they do it for the Air Force at NAS Pensacola. You had a Marine Lieutenant Colonel, retired Don Pilcher. And then you had the head of the Civil Affairs, 350th Army Reserve. It's on Corey Station. We're going to have him on for tenant commands. We've had Seamus on for tenant commands. Colonel Marshall Strauss Scanlon. And they were talking. It was very interesting to hear these, 05 and 06 level officers talking about, global politics, diplomacy, warfare, strategy, theaters of operation, and the capacity to fight in a two-front war, which has kind of historically been the main doctrine for United States military. We are not in a position right now to do it. Well, at least not on our own. That's what Seamus is getting at, is having alliances, having friends, having a healthy NATO, investing in places where they have disasters, because that's goodwill and that buys you allies over the long term.
BAM earthquake in Iran. We supported that. Right, so you go and you buy goodwill. So the key, and to answer the question, Dan, is we maintain an ability to fight on two fronts by setting ourselves up not to fight. We today, the United States military, cannot fight on two fronts. I will be clear in saying that. We can't do that on our own. So we need to maintain a posture in the Indo-PACOM to deter China and then maintain a relationship with NATO that they are ready and willing to fight in their own theater, and then we support with the folks and the assets we have available.
By the way, Indo-PACOM is Indo-Pacific Command. That's just the Pacific Theater of Operations for military folks can't get away from their own acronyms. They're always using them, and sometimes you have to decode a little bit. And by the way, it's worth saying that none of these people were speaking on behalf of the military. They were there as members of the military, but they were speaking their own opinions, and they would want to make sure that I said that to you. So I just want to make sure you realize they're not speaking for the Army, for the Marines, for the Air Force. But nevertheless, these are, high enough level officers commenting on matters of significance here locally. And I thought it was worth hearing what they had to say, because, these are the folks either training or overseeing or, engaged in fighting, depending on where. I mean, not Pilcher because he's retired, but still, you get the point. This is Colonel Scanlon.
And as Seamus said, readiness for two conflicts at the same time is not going to happen right now without our partners. We don't have enough to do that. Afghanistan and Iraq, I think, actually stretched us almost to the breaking point of our ground combat troops, where, yes, the Marines were a second land army and helped out with that immensely. We had Navy personnel. They started calling themselves sand pirates because they became ground troops. We had Air Force on the ground. So that shows the partnership between the militaries, the Department of Defense, but also just kind of how stretched we got.
Yeah, for 20 years, we were almost single focus on the Middle East and the War on Terror, and our other potential enemies were watching and developing and not squandering their resources as we were. And also, we were you know, built for this one kind of fight, and now we're having to completely pivot to basically a, you know, a water-based, sand-based, shoreline, littoral, you know, shallow water kind of conflict, something the Marines historically have been for, but we kind of turned the Marines into ground forces over time, and now we're, you know, kind of undoing and, you know, revamping that whole approach to how we conduct, you know, our force development and our training. And more on this in just a second. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Well, we've got an accident, I-10 eastbound right around mile marker number 10, which is right before the Highway 29 exit through that construction zone. It's starting to cause a little bit of delays. It's off to the side of the road, but I'm still seeing congestion delays there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So back to this conversation with several leaders, local military leaders, and one retired at the Chamber of Commerce military luncheon last week. This is the retired lieutenant colonel for the Marines, Don Pilcher.
Over two-thirds of the Marine Corps' forces are aligned with the Pacific Theater. I mean, two-thirds are in one particular domain. That definitely limits your ability to reach the other side of the world, which is why those pre-positioned materials and equipment are so important. But the Marine Corps' focus on this littoral warfare change has also required a reduction in ground war capabilities. We've gotten rid of our tanks. We've gotten rid of our artillery. But we've replaced that with littoral capabilities, underwater vehicles, right? The Marine Corps is in the process of purchasing its own ships so that it can organically move in the Pacific. Part of the Navy and the Naval Force. But the Marine Corps hasn't seen something like that since World War II.
Yeah, and remember, some of the news stories that I've related to you recently is the inability of the sort of the logistical supply operation on the waterways is not there because we don't have enough merchant marines, because the ships themselves are aging and in need of repair, and we're not building enough new ships. That is a real problem for the United States compared to China. And, you know, even some of the things that we've tried to do, like, you know, the LCS, the littoral combat ship that, you know, been produced, half of them have produced here by Austal, and they turn out to be not quite worthless, but they call them little crappy ships. You know, the ones made elsewhere had the drivetrain issues. The ones made here had cracks in the hull. I mean, like, it's bad. You know, and some of the stuff we've even tried hasn't really turned out the way we were hoping for. Some of the other stuff to kind of, you know, just to kind of understand what's going on in the world. Understanding the Belt Road Initiative that China's engaged in, this is a major push by them to have infrastructure that's going to connect them to the rest of the world and increase their ability to conduct trade, to both receive resources but also to send products, which is obviously where their you know, economic dynamism comes from.
Skittles talked about the Belt and Road Initiative. So if you're not familiar with the Belt and Road Initiative, this is the People's Republic of China, the CCP specifically, going into countries to help build infrastructure. They build dams, they build bridges, they do all this with predatory lending, right? So when we talk about the elements of warfare, it's not just kinetic shooting warfare, it's an information game as well. One of the best things we can do is highlight on a global scale the predatory lending that the Chinese do. And that is somewhere I think the future administration will do a very good job. So, you know, there's different elements of what we can do. That is one error. I think we can also go in and show the poor products that they put out there.
And, you know, specifically, and he had kind of an interesting comment about that.
There's a dam in China that the Chinese built that is falling apart because they use, for lack of a better term, concrete, right? So if we can highlight that, that also provides us an ability to go in there and on an informational level and an economic scale. And I do think on an economic scale, right, and an information point, you know, future administration has an opportunity to go there. But certainly pulling back opinion-wise is not a good thing.
And China has been doing this while we've been fighting in the Middle East, right? They have been investing and building relationships in Africa, in South America, connecting, you know, physically connecting Europe to Asia as part of their plan, both through sea and land. I mean, they've been engaged in this actively. By the way, I love Seamus. And what did you say to me off the air, John? You said Seamus for SecDef.
Yeah, exactly, man. I'd follow him into war.
Oh, no, he's a really smart guy. I've really enjoyed getting to know him better. He's, again, in the 479th training, flying training group for the Air Force here on NAS Pensacola. He's the colonel in charge of that whole operation. One of the other things that came up that I thought was interesting is talking specifically about, they asked, Dan McCourt asked about the ATACMs. That's the rockets that we are now allowing the Ukrainians to use into Russian space, and what that means for the Russian-Ukrainian conflict. This is Colonel Scanlon.
So the ATACM is a great missile system. It's mounted on a truck, and the technique is called shoot and scoot. You can shoot your missiles off, and then before your enemy can attack you back, you can drive off to a new location. You can load it while you're driving it. But the ATACM has a range of about 300 kilometers. Russia knows this. It's public information. So all they have to do is position their troops 300 kilometers away from the border of Ukraine, and the restriction that they had, the Ukrainians had on them, either politically, you can't use our ATACMs in Russia, or technological, no missile can go further, that gave Russia a safe haven.
All you got to do is pull back. Now, I think he kind of somewhat missaid it there, and I talked to him afterwards. But, yeah, if you can't attack inside of Russia with these weapons, then they have safe harbor over the border, or at the degree to which they can hide from other missiles that they are allowed to use at a shorter range. So the ATACMs extend that, and allowing them to be used inside of Russia extends that projection of force. It creates a much larger weapons engagement zone, or a WES, and that means that they have to be thinking about they're not in a safe territory in that, and that affects their ability to rest, resupply, logistics, all of those things.
Like Seamus mentioned, for terrorist organizations, criminal organizations, but that safe haven lets them take a rest, take a break, get their troops ready, then move in. We've now given Ukraine the ability to reach out and touch the Russians where it counts. And we're not letting them take a break. So I think it's a good thing, personally, because it lets them use the systems as they're designed and incorporate that into their defense plan. And as we've seen in other conflicts that we've been in, Vietnam as an example, a safe haven is not a good thing. During our revolution, George Washington used safe havens to escape the British, where he could rest, recuperate, and then plan his next move. So the closing off of part of that safe haven is a great move, although Russia is pretty large, and not every weapon system we have, except for some of the planes, can reach everything. So they do have a safe haven, but that's so far away from the conflict that it takes them time to get there. And now with those ATACMs, they're inside that weapon engagement zone much sooner, and they can be attrited as they get closer.
Attrited. Killed. And that's, you make them afraid to be too close because they know they can be attacked. You push them back. That makes it much harder to organize and, you know, to be able to effectively incur into Ukraine. By the way, part of what was valuable to me about this is just listening to these guys and learning and kind of admiration for their level of knowledge and their, you know, their strategic thought, but also starting to think more about this stuff. Because this, I mean, we all see the news story that we're going to give them permission to use the ATACMs to, and 300 kilometers is about 180 miles, okay, if that puts it in perspective for you. But the ability to use these ATACMs, you know, from Ukraine into interior to Russia, and then, you know, what does that mean? Well, I don't know. I mean, it seems right that we ought to be able to attack inside Russia. Oh, well, but now you're getting a sense of why projecting that battle space, that weapons engagement zone into Russia creates a problem for the Russians in their ability to properly organize, resupply, rest, right? Okay, into Ukraine. But also, if you just want a more like broad level analysis of this, was it significant, the announcement? Well, Putin's response was, we might consider using nukes now against you because you've engaged this way. That's an admission that this is a major strategic improvement for Ukraine and their ability to, or a tactical improvement in their ability to work against the Russians. Last question here from Dan McCourt asking, you know, what now as a result of that allowance to use the ATACMs?
Now that this has happened, what's the potential domino consequence authorizing that to occur? Do you see this as an escalation problem or a solution to something? So I'll close with that one.
And this is going to be Don Pilcher.
The longer that you are involved in conflict, the more escalation you're going to have, right? So really, if you look at the ability to take away that safe haven from Russia that was just discussed, what you're hoping to do is bring around a more rapid resolution to the conflict. So, I mean, simply put, it should help limit the conflict's length.
because it's escalating and raising deterrent value and making it harder for them to prosecute, realizing that they can't actually win, is how I read his comments. Anyway, I just thought it was a, you know, here you have local, you know, high-level officers talking about current affairs, military engagements, global theory about, you know, near-peer competitors, pacing, you know, global great power competition, all that. I found it particularly useful, and I feel like there's never enough of this kind of information presented in the news, even for you to make sense of the scant news reporting that comes out about all of these matters. And so this, to me, is an opportunity to kind of understand and create context to understand when we talk about some of these news events, what they really mean. So I appreciate the chamber doing this, and I certainly appreciate the members of the military for participating in this. 7:25 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still dealing with that hit-and-run crash that happened on I-10 eastbound right before you get to the Highway 29 exit there. It's causing some delays in that area, but not much, maybe a 5 to 7 minute delay. But other than that, traffic is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's strength for life.
What does it mean to be more than conquerors? Romans 8:37 says that in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Notice the word in all these things. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, peril, nakedness, and sword. Most of us feel like a conqueror before we get to the time of tribulation, not in those times. Or we feel like a conqueror after we get through a time of distress. Yet the text says in all these things. And the key phrase is through him that loved us. If you know the love of God through Jesus Christ, no circumstance of life can separate you from that love. Therefore, you can walk through this old world with a spiritual swagger and be fully persuaded that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Find out how to dress for the changing Florida weather with Jen Wells. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
Oh no, stomach issues again?
Stomach issues? Who are you? Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Fall is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs, cool weather color, and of course, winter vegetables. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got the answers on the News Radio Garden Line. Every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk, mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Are you a ghost too?
I'm the ghost with the most, babe.
I know it's not the Van Halen song that made the charts, but that's one of my very favorite Van Halen songs. I know it's Hagar, but it's still good stuff. Get up off of OE812. 729 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the woman who snuck on board a flight from New York to Paris is due in court today. She'll be in federal court in Brooklyn. Security officials in France escorted the woman onto a plane back to the U.S. Wednesday. She was arrested by the FBI after landing. The woman's been identified as Svetlana Dali. Officials say she got through several levels of security at the JFK airport last week to board the plane.
All right. Thanks so much, David. Hey, coming up next, we're going to talk to Mike Wood, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. We'll talk about the lane restriping and behavior on North Palafox, the road diet. We'll also talk about red light cameras that are kind of in construction phase right now. Stick around.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. The masked man who shot and killed UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson outside a New York City hotel yesterday morning is on surveillance video on the phone a few minutes before the murder. Thompson's wife said he'd received death threats.
The shooting also comes as Thompson and several other senior executives are reportedly under investigation for selling a combined $101.5 million in shares just 2 weeks before news of a federal antitrust probe went public back in February.
Fox's Chandley Painter. Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth has more Capitol Hill meetings today, denying reports of a drinking problem and sexual misconduct.
A half-hour talk with Senator Joni Ernst did not produce an immediate endorsement. She is reported to have interest in that position herself. Hegseth framed the controversy that he faces as a manufactured media takedown.
Fox's Jackie Heinrich. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got cloudy skies. It is 60 degrees in Pensacola. The Snowball Derby is back this weekend at the Five Flags Speedway. The annual race series excites fans. It also has a big impact on our local economy.
The economic impact on this area from this event is upwards of $10 million. So, we certainly like the idea that the entire community can benefit from the event.
That is Five Flags Speedway General Manager Tim Bryant. The race is considered to be one of the more prestigious races in super late model racing. It draws in big name drivers from all across the country each year, and it's attended by thousands of people. Actually, some of the biggest names in NASCAR, such as Dale Earnhardt and Richard Petty, participated in the Snowball Derby race over the years. Those preliminary races will begin tonight. The Derby runs through Sunday. The search continues for a boy that went missing after a shrimping boat accident in Mobile Bay. Officials say they did find the boat and the bodies of two people that were on the boat, the boy's father, Michael Slezak, and boat owner Sam Woolley over the weekend. But so far, there's been no sign of the child that was on board. Officials say that boat went down when the shrimp net snagged on something under the water. Century will have some railroad closures today. Several CSX crossings in northern Escambia County are closed as crews perform maintenance work on the tracks. Those closures started earlier this morning and could last anywhere up to 72 hours, depending on how much work is required. Former Escambia County Medical Director Dr. Ramey Edler was at Encounter Church on Nine Mile Road this week. She was talking about her time with the county and the retaliation she faced after going public about EMS training fraud that resulted in a multi-million-dollar lawsuit and multiple arrests.
There were times, especially with where I lived when this was going on, where I couldn't walk out of my car without looking over my shoulder. There were times I told my daughter, if I tell you or give you the code word, you run to the neighbor's house. It was an awful experience of going through full retaliation and harassment.
Edler said she'd promised the good EMTs and medics in the county that she would be their voice and fight the fraud and corruption she encountered. The whistleblower lawsuit resulted in Escambia County paying out around $5 million. The lawsuit also led to the Burgosh text messages, which resulted in another lawsuit with Escambia County suing some citizens in the PNJ for having possession of the messages. Edler's speech is posted in its entirety on the News Radio Facebook page if you'd like to see it. Ron DeSantis could become part of the Trump team. CNN is reporting that Governor DeSantis is interested in serving as President Trump's defense secretary. CNN is citing two sources close to the governor. Trump has already nominated Pete Hegseth for the job, but there are some reports he may not be able to get confirmed. One source tells CNN that Trump and DeSantis talked about the possibility of him taking the job on Tuesday when both were at a memorial service for three fallen Palm Beach County deputies. The New York Times reports that Trump is also considering Congressman Michael Waltz for that job. Trump has already nominated Waltz as national security advisor. It is 735, News Radio 92.3. John's got our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Still dealing with that accident that happened on I-10 eastbound. It's actually been cleared off the side of the road. Not seeing any delays there. Good news on that. Let's see here. No other accidents to let you know about. Traffic is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We will have plenty of showers as you go through the morning hours. 80% chance of rain. Showers starting to clear up through the afternoon, high near 64 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 35 degrees. As we head into Friday, mostly sunny skies, high near 54. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 38. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, it is cloudy. We've got 60 degrees in Pensacola, 60 in Gulf Breeze, 58 in Milton. Our next news at 8 o'clock. We have breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Ed Sheeran announced this week he's taking his mathematics tour to Bhutan, India, and the Middle East in early 2025. Tickets went on sale Saturday, with the cheapest tickets priced at $10 already being sold out. Other tickets for the concerts are priced at $30, $50, $70, and $100. CNBC's Jim Cramer said Salesforce's recent quarter suggests the innovative potential for artificial intelligence technology is strong. Salesforce CEO Mark Benioff boasted on the earnings call about the success of its latest AI product, Agentforce, which consists of AI-powered chatbots. Cramer insisted that AI agents won't replace humans, instead are designed to take on jobs most don't want to perform. Jeff Bezos believes his space venture Blue Origin will one day be a bigger company than Amazon, but it will take some time. Amazon, which Bezos founded in 1994, has a market value of about $2.3 trillion. Futures are slightly lower. That's Your Money Now.
Harris Faulkner is coming to Pensacola. Join Marcus Point Baptist Church for the Spirit of Christmas, featuring Fox News host and author Harris Faulkner. There will be incredible music and life-changing moments at every campus. We will have fun kids programs and prizes, as well as a free meal for everyone. Join on December 8th at 10 a.m. at any of our locations in Pensacola, Beulah, Molino, or North Pace. The Spirit of Christmas, December 8th at Marcus Point Baptist Church, featuring Harris Faulkner.
Hi, I'm Chad Pico with Affiliated Insurance. Are you missing out? 9 million people are now eligible for low-cost health insurance. For some, much lower. 4 out of 5 people pay $10 or less a month. Didn't qualify for assistance in the past year? You may now. Some people even qualify for plans as low as $0 a month. Why not you? Call 850-477-5840 to schedule an appointment with your Florida Blue agent today.
Policies have limitations. Health insurance from Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Florida, Inc., DBA, Florida Blue.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us tomorrow at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
This is Tom Beaudet from Manger 6. We know you've been traveling a lot this holiday season, and you've probably been told there's no room at the inn. Well, that's just not the case here at Manger 6.
This is Jeff Wayne, General Sales Manager, wishing you a very Merry Christmas and a super Happy New Year.
Hi, I'm Morgan, Promotion Assistant for Cat Country, wishing you a Happy Holidays and a Merry Christmas.
This is Tom Beaudet from Manger 6 reminding you there's always room at this inn. We'll even leave a star out for you.
Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone, as he always does on a Thursday, Mike Wood, the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Hey, Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, and happy Snowball Derby Week.
Oh, yes, I know. You're big. If people don't know this, you're big into racing. You spent, $600 or $700 in your life on racing?
You pride yourself in being accurate, and you missed the mark that time.
Well, more than. I mean, more than.
Yeah, just a little. Slightly. This is why I'm never at home.
Yeah, you know, a lot of you can have a house and a car and a, you know, a fur and vacation, or you can be into racing. You know, probably not both.
Yeah. For anybody that has a boat, this is worse.
Yeah, no kidding. Anyway, sorry. That's just, you know, makes me laugh because you brought up Snowball Derby. Speaking of driving fast, or whatever, red light cameras. Let's talk about this a little bit. Obviously, we've been talking about this a lot this week because the poles are in, the electrical work is in. We're still a ways off from them being fully installed and then obviously being activated. Still looking at January for the activation and February for actual real-life dollars tickets, right?
That's what we're looking at. But until it's actually happening and when it does, we of course, will let you know. but that is what we're looking at, yes.
One of the just a couple of clarifying questions, just because I know people have these questions and I want to make sure. And I verified with the mayor yesterday, but it still doesn't hurt because not everybody hears everything we do, of course. But any ticket that somebody gets sent in the mail will have gone through the eyeballs of a PPD officer before that happens, right?
Yes. And if we have a moment, I can explain exactly how the system works.
Yes, please.
Okay, so an internal computer uses a proprietary algorithm comparing the speed of oncoming vehicles in the enforcement zone against the time it should take for the light to change red. Now, if the system determines that a vehicle is traveling too fast to stop in time, it takes a high-resolution digital photograph of the vehicle just before the stop bar showing the vehicle's position, the red phase of the light, and the vehicle's license plate. If the vehicle manages to stop before entering the intersection or that stop bar, the event is discarded. If the vehicle does pass illegally into the intersection, the system captures a second digital photograph clearly showing the vehicle passed the stop bar and intruded into the intersection. The picture may be taken either by the same camera from the rear or by a second camera located across the intersection. The latter option allows for the driver identification should that be required. So, and these things, the question was asked, is it video or photo? It's actually both. High-resolution video or any video is taken in frames, usually 24 or 30 or 60 frames per second. So what we can do is we can back that up, use that video, and go frame by frame to make sure we're 100% sure whether this vehicle violated any laws or whether it ran the red light.
Okay, so that answers a lot of the questions. That, first of all, answers the question of how we make sure it happens, that it's essentially anticipating an infraction. If an infraction does not occur, it discards the anticipation. But that the video, because you have to have a picture of them not yet across the white line with the red light in order to prove an infraction. Otherwise, they could have entered on yellow, which is legal. So that's interesting. Also interesting because, go ahead.
Yeah, so when the citation arrives, the person will get a series of photographs, not just one. They're going to be able to see that themselves. They'll be able to see exactly what we saw and exactly what a judge will see. So there's no doubt whether that vehicle ran it or not.
And then you also mentioned because there's video, I presume that that would become useful in traffic investigations if there's a collision of some kind?
Well, that's possible. Now, it's not recording all the time. It's just recording when a vehicle enters. So, we'll have to wait and see. I don't think that's what the system is for.
I gotcha.
But we'll wait and see how that works out.
Okay. And then you mentioned briefly, but it's worth mentioning again, is people have asked the question, what if somebody's borrowing my car? And your answer is, well, that's what the front-facing photo is for, because if you want to dispute that it was you, you dispute it, and then the evidence will show on the video or on the picture, right?
Absolutely.
And then
we'll be able to see the driver.
Okay, so but a question I know people will have is, okay, when a cop pulls you over, a cop knows immediately who's driving because they have the person in front of them with the driver's license. What happens when people borrow a car that doesn't belong to them and they get an infraction? How do you resolve that to make sure that the correct person gets the ticket? What's the process? Do we know yet?
Well, the two of them will have to appear in court together, and then the judge will make a decision. We'll dismiss. I would imagine he would dismiss the charge against the registered owner because the registered owner wasn't driving it, and he could place that charge onto the person that was.
Okay. I mean, simple enough. It's, I'm sure, inconvenient for people who loan a car, but, you know, or have a kid or, you know, whatever, but there's no other way to do it practically. That kind of makes sense. And then these are what, there's 10 approaches, right? It's all directions at Davis and 9th. It's all directions at, all directions at 9th and Bayou, all directions at 9th and Airport. And then it's east-west at Fairfield and Davis and east-west at, Chase and 9th Avenue. Is that right?
You know what? I think that's right. I've got it written down, but it's on my desk, and I'm out here on Palafox in this bicycle lane looking at it right now, and I don't have that answer for sure. So, once we go online, I'm going to make sure everybody knows exactly what the approaches are and where these cameras are.
What's the just feeling inside the department about this? I know you don't get to make the policy, and you know, feel free to beg off since you're not the chief, but are officers eager to see this implemented? I mean, if you can comment on that.
Yes, but what we more want to see is the result.
Yeah.
If it gets well known, and you know, even the traffic apps like Waze will eventually catch on to this. They will tell people you're approaching a red light camera. What we want to see is a decrease in crashes and injuries. That's what we're looking forward to. We don't want to see anybody get a ticket. Hopefully, this is going to be a deterrent. And people will learn and not to run lights in intersections. And hopefully that's the ultimate goal, is not to fine people, but it's to be used as a deterrent to keep people from having crashes and getting hurt.
You describe the impossible fantasy, my friend. People in Pensacola driving responsibly. Let's hope for it. But yeah, not having any tickets would be the ideal. Zero tickets would be the goal because people are just driving properly. We're talking to Mike Wood, the public information officer for PPD. We'll be back to him in just a second to talk about Palafox. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
If you're headed from Pace into Pensacola via Highway 90, we're starting to see some backups as you get to the scenic and 9 mile split. Also, I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 is seeing some slowdowns, about a 5 to 7 minute delay there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Hey, one last quick thing. Mike Wood, talking to the public information officer for PPD, Mike. One last thing about the red lights is it's not points on your driver's license, though. I'm assuming that's because moving violations to count as points have to be observed the same way that a misdemeanor enforcement has to be observed. Am I in the right vicinity in thinking about this?
That's why I understand.
Okay. Okay. So which is, you know, just as a, you know, how to think about this stuff. You said you were in the bike lanes on Palafox. You know, I have seen some of the pictures. I haven't driven it yet. I want to drive it. But my wife has told me, I've had other people tell me that right now, like, the bike lane is wide. The theoretical no-go lane, which was just a white outline until recently and now has some of the white hash marks, is also wide. It looks like a driving lane. And then the one remaining driving lane is there. But you routinely see cars driving in basically all three lanes now, right? That's kind of the problem we're having?
Well, yes. And yesterday they completed those diagonal marks in what I would call now it's a median. So it's very clear now that that is no longer a travel portion. And then when they install the bicycle lane logos in the bicycle lane, it will be very evident what that is. So this is a work in progress. They did a lot yesterday getting those diagonal marks put down. It looks much better this morning than it did this time yesterday. They've also installed reflectors on the roadway. That, too, clearly shows that where the travel portion is.
Okay, so it's basically a combination of previously inadequate marking, unfamiliarity with a new traffic pattern, and people's habits, which should most kind of a couple of different things are going to make that shift. Is that your assessment?
I believe so. And I've been here since 7 o'clock this morning. I have not seen anybody over in the new median area or the bicycle lane so far.
Oh, okay. So people do seem to be getting it. Okay. Interesting. And it's white because it's on the right side of the drivers as opposed to between the lanes of traffic opposing each other, right?
Yes, the yellow is oncoming traffic, so that's why it's white.
Okay, all right. Just out of curiosity, you've been watching all morning. Are you in a marked or an unmarked? Because, you know, people might see your truck and its lights and be like, ah, you know, whereas if you're unmarked.
I'm in an unmarked black Silverado. That's for everybody to know and see. I'm right at Blunt and Palafox.
Oh, and by the way, if you go by, you know, wave at him. Don't honk, but do wave at him. You don't...
Use all your fingers.
That's right. That's right. All right. I completely forgot. I'm sorry. We got talking about that. I buried the lead. We had a shooting last night at Pensacola Village. Is that right?
Yeah, that's the bad news. The good news is that nobody was injured, and we may have a suspect on that. We're still looking into that. But yeah, anytime you have shots fired in a housing area where there's lots of people and lots of children around, it's a very dangerous situation. Unfortunately, nobody was hurt.
You know, for people who don't know, Pensacola Village is right there at like Fairfield and Davis. That's on the northeast corner behind the Shell station. That's that public housing complex. The mall has now got the church in there, and I think other things are kind of developing in that vicinity. My curiosity, and you may not know the answer, I'm kind of springing the question on you, but has the presence of the church and, you know, kind of, you know, more people congregating in that area, frequenting that area, has it created a change in calls for service in that area, or has it had, that you know of, any different impact?
No, I'm not aware of any different impact.
Okay, I was being optimistic. I was hoping for a yes, but okay, fair enough. We like to end with a cop myth, or a did you know, you have one for me this week?
Yeah, so this one is about when and when not to call the police if you're involved in a fender bender. We all know that you call if it's a major crash or there's injuries, but it's not necessary to call the police with very minor damage on your vehicle, and especially in parking lots. We no longer work crashes in parking lots unless it's a commercial vehicle, DUI, maybe a some other situation like a hit and run, people arguing. So what you'll do is if you call the police department, this dispatch, they will let you know about the website, the flhsmv.gov, where you can file that report online. But it's very important to exchange information with the other driver before you do that. So when I say it's not necessary to call the police, please do. If you feel uncomfortable, if the other person is argumentative or not willing to give you the information that you need, give us a call and let the officer come over and stand by while the information is exchanged. Now, he may not make a report, but he or she will stay there long enough to make sure all the necessary information is exchanged.
And it's, by the way, it's Florida Highway Safety Motor Vehicle.gov, FLHSMV. I know the acronym is probably pretty quick to grasp for people, but that's the reporting site for that. I do, you know, it's kind of funny you say that. My wife is notorious for getting bumped in her fender. Like, she's had so many people, and people who had warrants out on them, people who didn't have insurance. Like, she's a magnet for drivers who ought to be removed from the road. It's really weird. So if, you know, sometimes having a cop show up actually helps because you find stuff like that out, right?
Yeah, that's true. So that's the part of the myth that, you know, you always have to call the police. Not necessarily, but I want to reiterate, if you feel uncomfortable in any way, you know, especially if you're a young lady and do not want to get out of the car, please call us. We will be on the way. We will get there, and we will make sure that you get the information that you need to file that report with your insurance company.
And also, just as a, like, kind of a public service thing, you know, somebody gets in a fender bender with you and they pop out and they're like, you know, hey, let me just give you $500, or hey, come back to my house, even worse, come back to my house and I'll pay you. Dude, call the cops, right? Because, you know,
yes. That's
almost certainly an uninsured motorist. And also, don't go to somebody's house to get money for them from a crash, right? Right, Mike?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, don't ever do that. Again, call us and let us take care of that for you. No cash on the scene. That's something that could be a huge issue. So we certainly don't want to see that happen.
Very good. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you for the time and the information. And, you know, hope you enjoy the Derby.
Thank you, and I will. Weather's going to be perfect.
Excellent. 7:53 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Sarah, it's been ages. How are things?
Hey, Lisa. Things are okay, I guess. Things with Mark haven't felt the same lately.
Oh, Sarah, that is so common. It could just be ED or low testosterone.
Really? I didn't even think about that. I was blaming myself.
Yeah, Jim had ED and low T. I thought I was doing something wrong, but it's just a medical condition. Now he's passionate about his job again, lost a little weight, and even put on some muscle since he went to Wave Men's Health. They specialize in ED and low T treatments, and you should see the way he looks at me now.
Wave Men's Health delivers powerful, personalized treatments to reignite the passion in your relationship, even if other pills and treatments haven't done the job. Don't let ED or low T put a damper on what should be the best time of the year.
I forgot how we used to feel. I got my husband back.
Dial 850-266-7020 or visit WaveMensHealth.com today and rekindle the magic, because you both deserve to feel the joy this season brings. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, where you can meet up and wine all you want. Costello's has all your fall barbecue needs ready for pickup, from Wagyu tomahawks, Wagyu chuck steaks, to quarter pound colossal Wagyu hot dogs, briskets, pork butts, and so much more. At Costello's, you'll find all the best forehead sandwich meats and cheeses, plus everything ready from charcuterie board to chicken salad and the best dessert pies, all at Costello's Butcher Shop, Deli, Fine Wine, and Cheeses. Find them today at the corner of Lillian Highway and Fairfield Drive in Pensacola.
Daryl's Sewing of Pensacola invites you to their annual holiday open house, Saturday, December 7th from 11 until 1. Enjoy refreshments, door prizes, and machine demonstrations. Daryl's is the largest sewing machine dealer in the area, featuring Bernina, Baby Lock, Juki, and Handy Quilter machines. Don't buy online. Shop with Daryl's and get knowledge access, machine service options, and machine instructions. Don't forget, the holiday open house is this Saturday from 11 until 1. Daryl's Sewing, 6705 North Davis Highway between Creighton and Burgess.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
Puff, give. Puff, puff, give.
Good morning, 7:56 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you're in the Century area, they have railroad closures all day today and possibly for the next 2 to 3 days. So keep that in mind. But, you know, we're not really spending a lot of time on the railroad crossing closures because it's kind of outside of our listening area, but it is still our county, so we do care. Also, I-10 is supposed to have, I don't know if it's happened yet because I haven't driven it, but west of 29, you know, the intersection, the interchange there, it's undergoing massive revamping, and it's going to be done in the next 20 or 30 years. I mean, seriously, 5 years. But because eventually the traffic is going to go through the middle of the bubble instead of bending around the forest that no longer exists because they've taken them all out now, they are moving some of the traffic on the eastbound side into the median off of the shoulders, so kind of pushing it north a little bit if you're a north-south kind of person. Or to your left if you're driving it. And sometimes they're going to be reducing lanes down to one lane. Overnight, between 8 p.m. and 8 a.m. Was that the time frame that I told you about, John? To 8 a.m.?
Yes.
To 8 a.m.?
Yes. That's what I was wondering.
8 p.m. to 6 a.m., it should say. No, it does. What does it say here?
It
does a 6. My eyes are bad. It's a 6. They're doing it right.
Oh, okay.
Theoretically. So anyway, the reassuring note here is at least one travel lane will remain open at all times. Great. Well, at least there's one. Okay, but that's going to be a thing you're going to encounter on I-10 as you head towards 29. John has got traffic on the 5. John?
That's right. Speaking of that, if you're traveling between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through the I-10 eastbound, we're starting to see maybe just a 5-minute delay there. Nothing really big. I'm seeing the major delays are happening if you're coming from Pace to Pensacola, right there at the 9-mile scenic split. You're going to see traffic is backed up pretty good on that just due to congestion. Other than that, traffic is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Can we be honest and say that a 5-minute delay on the interstate feels like an hour?
It does. It really does. Honest, yeah.
Any kind of stop. Hey, if you're 64 turning 65, or you're retired, or you just want to make a change to your Medicare plan, or you just have questions about Medicare or Medicaid, hey, call Ricky Stewart. She can answer your questions, help you get transitioned, you know, figure it out, whatever. She's an expert on this stuff. Her whole family does insurance. She does this one part, and she does it so well, and she's great. Anyway, you got questions about Advantage or prescription drugs or Medicaid or any of the stuff. I know it can be overwhelming, but that's why she's there. Give her a call, 341-2185 for Ricky Stewart Insurance. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Taco Bell's installed cameras at a few of its drive-thrus. They're asking people to take pictures that may end up in their Super Bowl commercial. The Live Moss drive-thru cam launched this week. They're in 5 locations currently: in Los Angeles, Middleburg Heights, Ohio, Cookeville, Tennessee, Houston, and Wauchula, Florida, which is a real small town, about 5,000 people.
We're both baffled by this story.
You're listening to
News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
The Snowball Derby launches today with preliminaries. It'll run through the weekend. We'll have a little bit more on that right after this update from Fox News.